Okay, good morning, Bishop Rabbi Krohn. We are on Kuf Yud Dalid Amid Aleph. We are towards the bottom. We're in the middle of talking about, we had this discussion about if a child eats nevela, meaning eats inappropriate food, which is an Iser Daraisa, are we required to stop them from doing it if they are doing it on their own because they're not, they don't have a direct clue of not to have it? Are we required to stop them, or is it just that we can't instigate them doing something inappropriate? So we have this statement from Rav Pedas that when it comes to a child, we don't need to stop them. That also would apply. This all ties back from a Yavama's perspective to the discussion around the Chayresh, which is also doesn't have the obligation and whether you need to, they need to follow the rules, quote unquote. So we're in the middle of a whole series of attempts to provide proofs around a child or ultimately a chayresh, whether you need to stop them from doing an Iser D'Areisa because they're not really chayev. So we're up to Tashma. So Tashma, lo sa'ochlum ki sheketz haim. So this is talking about not eating creepy crawlies. So we have this additional pasuk that says don't eat them because they're sheketz, they're abomination is literally what it means. Now there are multiple places that it talks about not eating creepy crawlies. So this pasuk is extra. So why do we need this pasuk? So it says lo sochilum, meaning you should not cause other people to eat them. Lahazir hagdolim alatanim. This is to warn the grown ups about the children. So therefore, what that implies that this is in a way challenges what we're talking about, right? So if the gedolim are required to oversee the katanim, that would go against what we were talking about. My love. So what are we talking about here? Damohulo sochu. So you should say the adult should say to the child, don't eat the creepy crawly. You shouldn't allow them to eat it, even though they're not. You know, this goes against Rav Pedas. So answer is low. It's not the correct way to read the Bereisa, meaning the low lifsule biadayim, meaning you shouldn't feed the child by your actively feed the child the creepy crawlies by themselves. It doesn't mean that if they eat it on their own, you have to stop them. So this doesn't really work as a proof one way or the other. So another similar case. Tashma, kol nefesh mikem woso chaldam is a pasuk that says you shouldn't eat blood, and there are multiple places where it says that you're not supposed to eat blood. So why do we need this extra one? Again, lahazir agdolim alktanim, to warn the adults about the children. So my love, what are the children being warned to do? The armile lo tochu, maybe it means that they should tell the children not to eat blood. So again, that maybe that means the adults are chayev to stop the children from doing this iser. The answer again is lo. The lo lispulei biyadayim. You shouldn't give them a milkshake made out of blood. You shouldn't feed it. You feed it to them themselves. But if they do it on their own, you don't need to stop them. And a third similar case, tashma emor ve'amarta. This talks about the kohanim and about tuma and tahara. So there are, again, multiple places where it talks about that the Kohanim need to avoid Tumas Mace, and this is another case of that. So why do we have this additional one? Again, Lahazir Agdolim Alatanim, to warn the adults about the children. Again, that theory that the adults should have to stop the children from becoming Tame. My love is, so what is the adult being warned to do? The armulahul tutamu, you should be saying to the kids, don't do that. Don't, you're going to become, you're going to get Tumas Mace. Mara again answers, lo, no, the lo litmulahul biyadayim. You shouldn't actively cause them to become itame, but it means if they go ahead and do it on their own, you don't need to stop them. So again, all three of these cases are basically the same. So the Gemara is going to ask, why do we need all three cases? And it answer, and it says, we need all three of them. That if we only learned about the creepy crawlies, that particular case go to Amid Bey's Mishum, Diyisur Mimashu. You would think that maybe that applies because when it comes to a creepy crawly, you are chayev for eating even the most minor amount. You have the tiniest bit of a creepy crawly, that there's a chayev, right? So avodam, but when it comes to blood, the ad the ikar revius, until you have at least a revius, which is a much larger measure, you're not really involved. So you're worried, you wouldn't you need both of them, because you might think that one applies, that the shkatzim is identified because of its significance. Amelo, so therefore you might say that when it comes to blood, you don't do it. So therefore you need both of them to teach the two things. V'yashmin and dam, and if I only talked about blood, mishum to ikakares, because when it comes to eating blood, there's a more potentially quote unquote more severe chi of misa for eating blood. It comes to kares. Aval shratzim, when it comes to shratzim, you're only involved in malchus. So amelo, you would say that you don't have to worry about shratzim. Even so, the first situation, you say you need shratzim because it talks about the difference in the size of the item, and then you need blood because it talks about the penalty. V'yashbin ha'in tarte, and if you only had the two, if you only had the creepy crawlies in the blood, mishum de isur shavu b'chol, because you need this because the third case about the tuma only applies to kohanim. So you need those. So that wouldn't, if you only had that pasuk, it wouldn't apply to everybody. It applies to kohanim. Amelo. So you would say that that only applies because it talks about tuma tahara. V'yashminan tuma. And if you only taught us, so let me say that again. If you didn't have this one, it wouldn't apply. It only applies to issues that apply to everybody, and it does not apply to tuma tahara that applies to kohanim specifically. V'yashminan tuma. And if I only had the one about tuma, Kohanim Shani, you would say, no, we need this because it talks about the Kohanim. Mishum deribas behed mitzvos yiseris, because the Kohanim had extra mitzvos. Avohani, but for everybody else, emelo. So it's therefore tzricha. Therefore, you need all three situations to talk about the three differences between the two, whether it's the amount, whether it's the isor, or whether it's that it applies to both Kohanim and non-Kohanim. Okay, a couple more examples or more attempts to prove Rav Pedas, and these next couple actually tie back to our initial discussion from our Mishnah about Acheresh and Yevamos. Shnei Achim, Echad Pikeach, Echad Acheresh. You have two brothers. One is a Pikeach and one is a Acheresh. Nisuin Shnei Achos Pichos, and they marry two women that are Pichos, they're competent. So the one who is deaf is the one who dies. Again, you have two brothers. One is okay and one is deaf. And the one that dies is the one that's deaf. What is the typical husband who's married to the typical wife? What's his story? He doesn't do anything because his wife is married. His wife's sister is the Yavama. So therefore, he's exempt. That's Yevamos 101. However, meis pikeach bal pikachas. But if the one who is not deaf, the one who is okay, who is married to someone else who is okay, he's the one who dies. Maya secheresh bal pikachas. What should the deaf one, who is the husband of the pikachas, do? Motzes ishto beget. He has to give his wife a get. Because his marriage was only a derabbanan marriage, and therefore he has to exit that marriage. Veishes achiv asur el olam, and his brother's wife is therefore forbidden to him. Amai motzes ishto beget. So why does he have to give his own wife a get? Teitiv gabei. Let's say about him, katan ochel nevelosu. Back to our case, right? That this is a katan ochel nevelos. He's not really liable because he is a cheresh. So why what's the purpose of the get? Why don't we just leave it alone? Ignore the situation like we've said over and over and over. My answer is Mishum Isur Dida, because it's not about him, it's about her. His wife is a pikachas, and she has an obligation that he does not have. So therefore we force him to give her a get because of her. Another similar case. Tashma Shne Achim Pikim Nos Nusuas. So two okay men marry two sisters, one who is deaf and one who is not. So if the pikeach, the one who is married to the chareshes, dies, what should the brother who is okay, who's married to someone who is okay, do? He doesn't have to worry about it because his wife is a his wife is there and his wife is a pikacha, so therefore he's absolved. However, mace pikeach bal pikachas, but if the okay guy who's married to an okay woman dies, maya se pikeach bal chareshes, what should the pikeach who's married to a deaf person do? Moses ishto beget, he has to give his wife a get. The eishes achiv bechalitza, and he has to give his brother's wife chalitza. Vamai Moses ishto beget, why does he have to give his wife a get? Again, his wife is a chareshes. Tesev gabe, he should stay with her because why? Katan achel nevelosu, because same thing, you know, she is as if a katan achel nevelos. She's not obligated here. She's not, you know, she's a charesha, so you shouldn't have to do anything with her. Gemara answers Rishum Isa Dida because of him, because he is a pikeach, he has an obligation. Therefore, because of him, you have to do a get. So last attempt, Amar Rava Tashma. Shnei Achim, two brothers, Echad Cheresh, Echad Bikeach. The men, one is deaf and one is not. Nisuyin L'Shtei Achayos are married to two sisters, Echad Bikachas, Echad Cheresh. One and one. So in this case, you have a deaf husband and you have a deaf wife, right? So Meis Cheresh Bal Cheresh. So if the deaf husband who's married to the deaf wife, he were to be the one to die. Maya se pikeach bal pikachas. What should the okay husband and wife do? Take to mishamachos isha. They're okay. They have no problem because the sister is the sister of the woman. So he's yotze. He's out of it. He doesn't have to worry about it. Makes pikeach bal pikachas. But if the typical okay husband is the one that dies, maya se cheresh bal chereshes. What should the deaf husband who's married to a deaf wife do? Moses ishto beget, he has to give his wife a get. Veishes achiv asura olam, and his brother's wife is usher to him forever. V'ha hacha, in this case, delavi surdida, v'lavi surdideika. So unlike the other cases where there was always a the oraisa level person involved, there was a pikeach involved, that's why we gave a get. Why do we have to worry about it here? You have a cheresh on both ends. V'katani motzias ishto begen. We still make him give a get. You know, in theory, we should go back to our thing and we should say, you know, there is a deaf husband and a deaf wife. So therefore, it should be the same thing. Let them as if they're ochel nevela, same thing. Rav Shmaya, gzeir v'shom atari yavam l'shak. No, it's more of a worry that people will think that you can go ahead and let's, you know, you don't have to go through yibam, you don't have to go through divorce. So this is all there to prevent a misconception about what's happening here, and therefore just to institutionalize this, they required him to go out with a get. So this will end the parak, and we'll start the next Mishnah. Okay, so this is the next to the last parak of Yevamos. This is going to talk about when a woman comes to testify about her husband having died, and whether you believe her or not. So ha'isha shahalcha hi ubalo medina sayam. So a woman and her husband went away, they traveled away, and shalom beino levena, the shalom ba'olam, and there's two statuses. Status one is that it's believed that both her and her husband are on good terms, they're not fighting, and it's not, and there's peace in the world, meaning they're not going into like a war zone. The uva v'amra meis bali, and she comes back and she says, my husband died. Tinase, she's allowed to remarry based on her own testimony. Meis bali. Similarly, if she comes back and she says, my husband died, tisya beim, she should be able to do yibam with her husband's brother. However, shalom beino levena, but if there is the husband and wife are on good terms, how but umilchama ba'olam, but there's war going on, there's war in the world, and therefore they're potentially going into a war zone, or the other way of looking at it, katata bein levena, the husband and wife are known to be fighting, mishalom ba'olam, and there's not a war zone. Uvasa the arma meis bali, and she comes back and she says her husband died, ainan amena, she's not believed. She's not believed, and the Gemara will go into why she's not believed, but in essence, she's either not believed because when she goes into a war zone, she might not have really seen the husband died. She might have assumed that, you know, because he was in a situation where it seemed to be impossible to have survived, or that, you know, she's fighting with him and therefore she's motivated to want to say that he's not alive anymore. Rabbi Yehuda Omer La'olam Inerne Emenes, she's never believed, Ela Imbasa Bocha Ubagadea Kruin, only if she comes back and she's clearly in a state of mourning, that she's crying, her stuff is torn up or whatever. Armelo, achazu v'achazu tinasa. But the Chachamim say whether or not, and this goes back to the first case where we said it would, she would be believed, right? So the he would say she's only, Rabbi Yehuda says she's only believed if she had, if she's showing physical signs of mourning. The Chacham says no, either way you would believe her to remarry based upon her case, her testimony, if it's a case of they're on good terms. So Tana, so in the Mishnah it says Shalom Beinu Levena. Why does it have to say that? Does that mean, so the question here is, does that mean that there has to be evidence or proof that there is both peace between him, her, and her husband? Why does it have to say that? And the only reason is Bishum the Kabbalah Miste Katata Ben Levena, because in the second case it wants to talk about where they're, that we know they're fighting. So you don't have to necessarily know. So the question here is basically what we're saying is it's not that you need specific proof that they are on good terms, but you can go along with the status quo and you could assume they're on good terms. And the reason the Mishnah uses the wording the way it does is only because the second case where they're fighting, it wants to lead off that way. When they're fighting is where you need somewhat of evidence. Similarly, Tana Shalom Ba'olam, the reason when it says peace in the world, it's not like you need like a whole UN report to prove that there's no war going on. It's really, you can, you know, status quo is there's war. The answer is Mishun Nekvai Lamista Milcham Ba'olam, because in the second case, it's going to talk about that there's war in the world. So fine. So that just talks about the wording. So why don't we believe the wife when it comes to a wartime? Amarava, ma time of Bidamachama. Why don't we believe her when it's time of war? Mishum de Amre Bidamame. Because she'll say what she thinks actually happened, whether or not she really has evidence that she saw him dead. Salkadaita Bakohani de Iktahu Pali. She might in her mind say, is it possible that she went into this place where there was a battle and there's everybody's lying on the ground dead and he wasn't killed as well? You know, she would go without actually seeing, you know, he might have gone away to an area where there's war and, you know, he didn't come back. But that doesn't mean that she saw him actually, you know, dead and buried. In Tim Salom Arkev in the Shalom Beit Levena, Nitra Dechaze. But you might say that since they get along, she's going to wait and see if he actually comes back. Like, she's not going to be so quick to leave the scene. Then Zimnin, Demachale, Begira, Oberumcha, Vesavar, Vadaimes. She has times that she might have seen him wounded, or she sees that he was really in a place that she, there's no way she believes he could have survived. And there, but that, you know, he might have been wounded, but maybe there are ways that he could have been, you know, maybe he ran into a good medic that had a good type of bandage that was able to, even though he had a, you know, a spear through his head, maybe there was like some great doctor that was able to save him. So she might have seen him get injured, but she didn't see that he actually died. Sava Rava Rava Lemeimar Ravon Inamachama. So Rav is thought to say that a time of Rav, when people are dying from famine, it's not the same like a war zone. That if there's a time of famine and a woman testifies that her husband dies, Delo Amra Bidide, she's not going to say that he died just based upon the fact that, you know, there's no way he could have survived. You know, he would say that that war is one thing, but, you know, if there's famine and people are dying of famine, she's not going to just assume that her husband died of famine without actually having seen him dead and buried. But Rava backs away from what he said. Hadar Ara Rava. Rava later said, Rava on Harehu Kemelchama. Maybe Ra'av, a famine, is like a wartime, because he gives an incident, because this is what he did. He, the Asas, the Kameh, the Rava, someone, a woman came before Rava, Armale Bali Meis Barav. She said, my husband died of in a Rav, in a time of hunger. Armale, Rava said to Shapir Avadita the Shays for Nafshek. It's good that you left and saved yourself by running away. And otherwise you would have died also. Salkadaitach, could you believe, lady, Divahu Purta the Nafisa the Shafkile Havichaze? You know, because it's impossible that even if they, you know, that even with a little bit of food or flour that was left there, that anyone could have survived. You know, there's no way, lady, that anyone could have survived. So it's a good thing he ran away. Armalei, and she said back to him, Mar nami yadchi dechi haigavne lochaya. I see that you understand what I'm talking about, because there's no way anyone could have survived. Right? So she's clearly saying, she's clearly speculating. He's saying to her, It's a good thing he ran away because there's no way anyone could have survived. She said, you see, that's what I mean. There's no way he could have survived, right? So she's clearly like speculating without actually seeing him dead. Hada Amar Rava. Rava therefore said, Ravon Griya Mimilchama. Ra'av, a famine, is actually worse than Milchama. The Ilo Milchama, when it comes to Milchama, comes to war, Amra Meis Bali Bimilchama, Hu Delo Mehemna. When she says, my husband died in a war, she's not believed. Ha Meis Amitasa Mehemna. But if she were to come back and say, you know what, my husband died on his bed without mentioning the war, she would have been believed. If she said, you know, he just died on his own without mentioning the war, she would have been believed. This is like a Migo case. She could have said that he died on his own because there's a war situation. She's believed that she doesn't bring up the war. But when there's a ra'av going on, she's not believed until she says, you know, he died and I actually buried him. So when in case of war, she might have, there's a possibility he might have escaped. And therefore, you know, she could have just said, not brought up the case that there was war going on. But when it comes to a famine, everyone knows the famine is going on. And therefore, if she says it, she needs to bring proof or actually state that she saw him dying. So just a little bit more. We'll just go to the top of the next daf. Mapola. So when it comes to a building collapsing, Harehi Kamilchamad Amri Bidame. That when it comes to that, she might say, based upon not actually having seen him die, that he passed away. That she could have said, there's no way that anyone could have survived this building collapse. So therefore, you have the concern about that as well. Shiluach Nechashim Vakrabim Harehen Kamilchamad Amri Bidame. Similarly, if they're overrun by snakes and scorpions, that's similar to a Muhammad time that the woman would have said, again, without actually seeing him dead, there's no way, you know, I saw him covered in rattlesnakes and vipers and all sorts of things. There's no way he could have survived that. Dever, when it comes about a plague, however, Armalei Harehu Kemachama, Armrelo Eno Kemachama. Some would say that a plague is similar to war, where you don't believe her unless she knows she saw specifically that the guy died, and some say no, it's not really that way. Some will say that it's like a melchama because the woman might say what she thinks is true because she could have said everyone in this area died of a plague. There's no way he could have survived. Say no, it's not like the melchama. Because some like people say. Shav Shanim Havimos. Now there may be a 7-year plague. V'inish Bloshne La'azil. And some people aren't going to die before they're supposed to. So meaning that people are only going to die at the end of when they're supposed to die. So even though there's a plague, they could have lived. Ibailahu. So they asked. Hechzikahi Mechama Ba'olam. She herself said that there was a war. So again, we talked about earlier that she could have said. Could have done the Migo, that she could have said he died in his bed. But she mentioned that he died in the war. So if she mentions the war herself, Maho, do we believe her to remarry? Me, Amrina Ma Lava Sheker, do we say that what is the reason for her to lie and say there is, you know, and bring up the thing that there's a war going on? Di Bay Aru Shalom Ba'olam, and if she had just, you know, left the good enough alone and not mentioned there was a war. O Dilma, or maybe Kaven de Ichsika Amr Bidame, since there might have been war, you know, she might have done it based upon what she thought on her own. So this whole concept, there's a whole question about why. What's the benefit of her lying about this? It doesn't come and disagree. So her bringing up the fact that there's war, you know, maybe that should help her case and make her more believed, because she didn't have to say that. She could have just said that she could have just said that he died without bringing up the war thing. But so maybe she's further believed. So we'll leave this for next week. So for now, we'll stop and we'll pick up next week with Kuf Tesvav Amid Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful day.